Nice try. Hey, okay. So, everybody's favorite question. What did we learn about last week? You sleeping in your bed. You may have learned about that, but we did not. Friends are important to have. Hey, for those that want to take notes, under the leftmost TV is notebook paper and pens. So friends are important to have. What kind of friends? What? Is it Joseph? It is not Joseph. Jonathan. You need a Jonathan. Yep, you need a Jonathan. Who is the other person in the story, though?
David.
Oh, my. Man, they actually, like, might have paid attention. So, yeah, to summarize last week, there's a chance that you and or your friends are going to walk through a fire at some point. And we need friends to keep us up. We need friends to keep us accountable. We need friends to help us along the way. Here's the thing. Friendships aren't always easy, as some of you well know. Last week, we talked about how friendships can be made. This week, I'm curious how they can be broken. Okay. So we're going to, let's do this. Huh? No, she been working all day and she being wah-wah again. So, y'all done messed the groups all fired up and stuff. What? All right. We'll get the leaders to get mobile then. So, y'all figure out how to make groups work. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Wait, what?
Here,
hear what you said.
Emily says, come meet.
What were you saying?
I said, y'all are like all discombobulated if I had to make groups not work.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Bill, you're stuck with us.
Oh, dang.
Come on, Bill.
Hey, there we go. Okay.
Okay, Bill, you're leading that group.
You want me to do it?
Mariah's got to move
the
feet.
Okay, let me see. Have I got the thing? I think so. Yeah, I got it, buddy. All right, so here's a question inside the group. Honey, nobody likes you.
I like her. All
right. Okay. So, very quickly, when has a friend helped you through a difficult situation?
Never.
Quickly. All right, Danica has no friends. Got it. When has a friend helped you heal from a difficult situation? Not get you out of. I'm not looking for a friend that like helps you run from the cops. Okay? That's not what we're talking about.
I'm
All right. So, tonight, obviously, we're going to go to the Bible at some point.
No.
Yes. Sorry. Once again, I'm in charge. We're going to talk about Elimelech and Naomi. Huh?
You want to know something?
Yep.
There's the guy.
Some guy in the Bible in Exodus married his father's sister. That's weird. I
was like. All right, so. All right, so Elimelech and Naomi, they got two sons. They live in Judah. Okay, we know where that is. They decided to move to Moab. That's down the road. Because there's famine where they live. There's a problem. Elimelech and Naomi, their sons were Israelites. The Moabs didn't serve the same God they did. And so God had set this rule out that, like, this was a problem. But they're like, look, we can either starve to death or we can take the risk that our sons are going to marry crazy women. So they decided to take the risk. They moved to a new country. This is where we're going to pick up. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Where'd you think we were, Em? Ruth chapter 1. I can't hear you. Okay. So Ruth chapter 1. Once again, turning pages in the Bible is not a group activity. One sixty-one. Again, not a group activity. Danica, your Bible better be to want Ruth 1 if you're getting stuck. I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm saying if you're getting up getting drinks, you better be your Bible better be open and ready to rock and roll. 161. All right, we're going to start. So, chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. We talked about that. So, a man from Bethlehem. Y'all should know where that is, why it's important. A man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died. That's kind of sucky. You move and your husband dies. So Naomi's left with just her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. Saw that coming. One was named Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah. The other one married a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone with her two sons, without her two sons or her husband. So she's in a foreign land, no husband, no sons, two random daughter-in-laws. Verse 6. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So the famine's over. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. On the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. So she's like, yeah, you don't need to stick with me anymore. Like, your husband's gone. You have no allegiance to me, so go. You know, they're Moabs. She's an Israelite. Go. Verse 10. No, they said. We want to go with you to your people. No idea why this would happen. Like, if I die tomorrow, I'm pretty sure Emily's going to half ignore my parents. Pay attention to when I'm talking. Half ignore my parents. Don't let her fool you. So, verse 11. Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands?" That would be mildly jacked up, by the way. Just thinking this through, like, the women were probably 15 to 18-ish. Their husbands died after 10 years of marriage, so they're like 25 to 30. So she'd have to have another baby, and they would have to be 18 for them to get married again. So she'd be like, the women would be like 50, marrying 18-year-olds. Okay? So, verse 12, "No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I'm too old to marry again, and even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you want to wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again, they wept together, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Pretty screwed up situation. So what's so impressive about Ruth? Yeah, she stays anyways. Like, she's got no reason to stay, but she's like, nope, I'm going to stick around. Okay? Pretty good friend. Pretty good. Pretty reliable. Really, though, if you're Naomi, why are you not bitter? Like, your husband's dead. Your sons are dead. Why would you not be upset? I guess that's possible. Like, she's so bitter that one of her daughter-in-laws leaves. Like, Orpha's like, all right, fine. You want to be bitter? Peace out. So, lesson one. You want to know who your true friends are? Look at who's still around when you're trying to push them away. Like, have you ever done that? Like, you're in your feelings. You're having issues. You're trying to push everybody away. Yes. Okay. If you want to know who your true friends are, look at the ones that won't leave. The ones that you're like, you're annoying, go away, because they just won't leave. That's who your true friends are. All right, verse 15. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." That's a pretty bold statement. Kind of like when you say your wedding vows and it says, "Till death do us part." Yeah. So, 18, "When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more." She just gives up. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited for their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the woman asked. "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Lord has made life very bitter for me. I went away with full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the end of the barley harvest. If I'm Naomi, I'm pissed. Like, this whole situation sucks. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I don't want to deal with it. Which is probably why she tells them, "Call me Mara. I'm bitter. That's how I want to be." Anybody got an issue with that? Yes, no, maybe so. Don't know. No, like, that's how it's going to be. even through it, Ruth didn't give up on her. She's sticking through it, through the hard times, through the good times, through the bad times. She says, I'm sticking through it. I'm going to die where you die. Okay, again, remember the age difference here. So there's like a possible 30 years that's going to go down. Naomi's going to die, and Ruth says, I'm just going to stay there. It'll be fine. So the name Mara means bitter. The name Ruth means friend. So Naomi's bitter, and Ruth says, I'll still be your friend. Anybody got friends like that? They bitter. They're bitter. You're still going to be their friend. So that's my hope, is that each of you, when you decide you want to be a Mara, have a friend that decides to stick by you. That would be my hope. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to get bitter, you're going to get angry, and you need true friends. So last week, I had this hammer.
Oh, the shusher.
The shusher. Danica told all the preteens that I have a shusher. So now they're all terrified to come upstairs. It's okay. So, and I told you that there's different types of steel. And that as you heat steel in a fire, the chemical composition changes and it gets stronger. Well, here's the other factor about steel. As you heat it up, you can fix things that were broken. Okay? Again, Emily and I have been watching the Forged in Fire show a little bit. So we will watch people. They'll be doing stuff. And it's funny because they'll be like bending on a blade trying to make it straight or something. And all the judges are like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Snap. So what do? Either A, they start over because they have time. Or they pick it up. They heat it back up. And they put it back together. Fire has the ability to mend relationships and mend metal. So, I'm going to show you a clip from a movie. I wish I could show the whole movie because it's basically amazing. You'll find out. I'll play the thing if you can get the lights. Oh yeah, it's been out. It's not an I can't play illegal movies upstairs.
Yeah, you can.
All right, so here we go. Here's the. Make sure the PC audio's on. What the heck?
That's pretty scary, bro.
Sometimes I hate Prober Center. Hang on. It's Prober Center. It's.
And we're back.
Oh. No, there's static on the line. Yeah. Okay, the audio, watch it. The audio line. I should kill the static, hopefully, and... What the heck? What is it doing? No! Yeah, it may be... Why do I have no audio? All right, here we go. All right. Lord of the Rings. Hello. All right, so the all right, the crux of the whole thing is now it broke. The crux of the whole thing, he's got to put this sword back together. Okay? But of all the pieces, he sticks his thing in the forge, gets it hot, beats it back together, the swords comes back together. So, just like the sword was fixed, the Bible tells us that Ruth and Naomi shared something difficult, and that fixed their bond, okay? That built a stronger bond, it fixed some of their problems, they were able to heal together in this process. Sometimes the fires that we go through will help fix things that need to be strengthened. So, of all the stories in the Bible, why would God put this one in there? Why is this important to him? I can't hear you. Close. I don't think he puts hard times in our path, but we do things that create dumb things in our life. But sometimes those are going to strengthen us. Okay? I did a funeral yesterday. What do you mean, what kind of funeral? No. I ran sound at a funeral. Well, I don't know why that is relevant. Either way, here's the thing. What I saw at the funeral was a family that hadn't talked in 20 years. No, they had an issue and they were fighting. And so they had not talked in 20 years. And what I watched was a family begin to come back together and repair itself and heal over a time that was fire. Because that's what they talked about during the funeral. I will give you their phone number. You can call them and ask all that. All right, if you don't care, then don't ask. So, God wants us to see that we need people in our lives that are going to help walk through us with the fire, and sometimes those things are going to strengthen us. The other one, at the very beginning of the chapter, I told you, look at something, it's important. What was it? Why is Bethlehem important? It all ties. Is that what it actually is?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know with how many number of greats it actually was, but yeah. So she goes to Bethlehem, settles there, hangs out there. That's where David comes from, and that's why Joseph has to return to David, because he's from the line of David. This whole thing ties together. The story's on purpose. So, in your groups, how can you be a Ruth for a hurting friend instead of an Orpha? Hey, my batteries are dead.